Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, a love experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started today. With Angel.
Come true, find a real dream.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Jenny and Ingram. We're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that great spirit that is known by many, many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And we're going to get ready and breathe and become very intentional about the breath. I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of eight, and then release the breath, reminding you, feel me, that there is power in the breath. Let's breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. And as we enter into the present, I just want you to breathe. And be very intentional about the breath. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we invite the energy of forgiveness,
day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator. Today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
And as we just invite the energy of forgiveness, I just want us to be in the presence of the energy of forgiveness, releasing our heart and our mind from any judgment, any thought processes that has caused us to remain stuck. And so today, as we move through, just simply removing and releasing any information, any behavior, any pattern that is no longer serving a higher purpose, we give thanks, Holy Spirit, for this opportunity to release right now. Release and receive more of your goodness in our lives. And so at this right now moment, we just give thanks for this new day. Thanking you for the fresh anointing that you have bestowed upon us. New wineskin. Thank you for new health. Renewed health. Thank you for divine love mates. Thank you for marriage. A great, healthy, wealthy marriage. Thank you for new cars, new homes, new inventions, witty ideas, witty inventions. We just give thanks, recognizing that we are already all that God is. So it is. Thank you, God. Today's science of the mind is lighten your load. It's an interesting quote by Susan Gill. It says, the majority of the baggage that weighs us down, we have packed ourselves. Wow. The majority of the baggage that weighs us down, we have packed it ourselves. The science of the mind on page 108 says, while bondage is an experience, there's a reality to which bondage is not real. The ancient pilgrimage, Camino de Santiago, a.k.a. the Way of St. James, remains a popular and profound spiritual experience that journeys across the country of Spain. Day one of the traditional route begins in a picturesque village in France known as Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. and ascends over the Pyrenees and down into the Spanish border village of Roncesvalles. I'm laughing because all these words. Day one provides the walking traveler a profound realization. We tend to overburden ourselves. Yes, it is a month-long journey, but when you have to carry everything on your back, you understand the wisdom of traveling light. I begin with too many supplies, too many clothes, and my ultimate weakness, too many books. Oh, my God, this must be for me. I was not alone in my miscalculation. In fact, I was part of a mass misconception as I humorously stared at the many recycling receptacles that lined the trails that first day. There were bins for clothes, excessive toiletries, and yes, even books. As much as I grimaced at the thought of leaving behind my prized reading materials, I came to understand that the pilgrimage required my focus outward and present rather than down on a page. I came to realize that most treasured items were small bags of safety pins that were used to hang my hiking clothes to dry every evening, and my spiral foam earplugs that allowed me a reprieve from the nightly snores of fellow pilgrims in the shared sleeping quarters. Hiking the Camino taught me a profound sense of resourcefulness. Lightening my load on that first day was more than discarding unnecessary objects. It was about discarding distractions and excess. My physical body was in constant contact with my non-physical thoughts. And every day was a walking meditation. And every day I was forced to be with myself, face long-standing inconsistencies, and gain understanding of the sacred nature of personal reconciliation. Wow. My physical body was in constant contact with my non-physical thoughts. Every day was a walking meditation. And every day I was forced to be with myself, face long-standing inconsistencies, and gain understanding of the sacred nature. I don't know why I keep saying that. The sacred nature of personal reconciliation. Wow. Today's affirmation is about I release the heaviness in my mind and lighten the load of my life. Let's say that together. I release the heaviness in my mind and lighten the load of my life. I release the heaviness in my mind and lighten the load of my life. I think that was really for me, y'all, because I do have way too many books. And every time I do clean up and release, I could release clothes, and everybody know I love shoes. I have released shoes, and I love purses. I have released purses, but you know I have not released books. It is something about a book. I don't even understand. And still buy books, more books. Call myself on that one, y'all. Lightening the load. All right, family. Good morning. You tuned in to the Love Journey, Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Yes, I am your daily lover. And it's real interesting because I want to talk to us about change and lightening our load and really being conscious of our emotions. And I was listening to this early this morning, and you know, I just thought I wanted to share this because one of the things that came was really clear to me that came out. He said we can choose to learn in pain and suffering, or we could choose to learn, we can choose to change in pain and suffering, or we can choose to change in joy and inspiration. And so I wanted to talk about that. Maybe more than talk about it, I really wanted to have a dialogue. So I'm hoping that you all decide to have a dialogue and this won't be a monologue because I wanted to see what your thoughts were on it after I play this. This is Joe Dispenza, The Choice We All Have to Change is what this is called. It's a 5-minute clip, and I wanted you to really hear. He talks about how to change our emotion heaviness. Let's talk about that.
Your brain is organized to reflect everything you know in your life. Your brain is a record of the past. It's an artifact of everything you've learned and experienced in this moment. If feelings and emotions are the end product of past experiences, and we can remember experiences better because we remember how they feel. So most people wake up in the morning and they start remembering all their problems. And those problems are connected to certain people and certain things at certain times and places. The moment they start thinking about those problems, they're thinking in the past. Those problems have an emotion associated with them, and the moment they start feeling those emotions, the body is the unconscious mind, doesn't know the difference between an experience that's creating an emotion and the emotion the person's fabricating by thought alone. Now, thoughts are the language of the brain, and feelings are the language of the body. And how you think and how you feel creates your state of being. Mm-hmm. So most people's entire state of being, when they start their day, is already in the past. So you have a choice. The choice is, you're either defined by a vision of the future, or you're defined by the memories of the past. And when you decide to say, okay, I'm going to change, and you decide one thing, I'm not going to eat this food, I'm going to wake up earlier, I'm going to do something aerobic, I'm not going to have sugar after 6 o'clock, whatever it is, the person, whatever choice a person makes, the moment you make a choice to do something differently, and the hardest part about change is not making the same choice as you did the day before, get ready, because it's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel unfamiliar. There's going to be some uncertainty and unpredictability, and that's the moment the game is on. So then most people, their body has been conditioned emotionally to be the mind. So now the body says, wow, I'd rather hang on to my guilt than take a chance in possibility. I'd rather live in fear than trust in the unknown. So so once the person feels uncomfortable, the body goes, whoa, wait a second, we're out of the program here. And body starts influencing the mind.
That's right.
So it says, start tomorrow. You'll never change.
Right.
You don't have the money to do this. You're not good enough. Your mother told you you were this. Your father's fault. It's your ex's fault. You know, all of the voices that come up. Now, here's the deal. If you respond to those voices, those same thoughts, as if they're true. By the way, they're always going on behind the scenes of your awareness, but now they're amplified because you're outside your comfort zone. You believe in that thought. That thought's going to lead to the same choice, which is going to lead to the same behavior, which is going to create the same experience and produce the same emotion. And the person's going to say, this feels right. No, 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 that feels familiar. Going from the old self to the new self is a neurological, it's a biological, it's a chemical, it's a hormonal, it's a genetic death of the old self. And people will say to me, in that void, in that unknown, I can't predict my future. And I'll say to them, the best way to predict your future is to create it. Not from the known, but from the unknown.
I love it.
So close your eyes now and think about that vision. Once you start thinking about that vision of your future, you're activating the creative centers in your brain. And naturally, you begin to think about putting yourself in the scene.
Yes.
And the act of doing that, when you're truly passionate and truly present, the moment you're defined by that vision, when the thought in your mind becomes the experience, you begin to feel the emotion of the event before it's made manifest.
Yes.
Now, you're giving your body a sampling, a taste of the future.
It.
And now, if a thought and a feeling create a new state of being, you're combining a clear intention with an elevated emotion, and now you're beginning to change your biology, and you're seeing a whole new landscape that you could never see before, because you're no longer viewing your future through the lens of the past.
I love this.
Now, this requires then something really specific, because most people will wait for their wealth to feel abundance. They'll wait for their success to feel empowered. They'll wait for their new relationship to feel love.
They'll get all these things when.
Yes. Right. So think about that. The absence of getting those things causes people to live in lack their entire life.
That's right.
And so they're waiting for something outside of them to change how they feel inside of them. And if they're not creating a new life, then they're not applying the proper principles, then they keep all their manifestations, all their dreams at arm's length. Well, think about this. If you get up feeling gratitude, if you get up feeling empowered, if you get up feeling whole, if you get up feeling unlimited, why would you worry about whether it was going to come or not? You would feel like it already happened.
So I just wanted to play that, and I wanted us to really marinate on that. We hear this all the time. We heard Reverend Ike say, so let's get the blessing. Some of the points that came out was that thought is the language of the mind, feelingness is the language of the body. We talk about our feeling nature. We talk about all these things over and over on the call, but yet we still live our life the same way every day, creating the same things that we don't want in our lives anymore. We keep creating the same things over and over in our lives that we don't want anymore. So if these are changing our feeling nature and managing our emotions is the way to shift the consciousness, then what keeps us stuck in the same old pattern personally? Now, this is a personal question to each person, because each person has their own personal conscious or unconscious reasons for staying stuck. And so I thought it was interesting, because I asked this question this morning when I was praying. I said, God, sometimes we get stuck where we can't see anymore. We don't see our future. We don't dream anymore. We feel unpassionate about life. We no longer have that drive anymore. We no longer have that feeling that we want. We just kind of drifting through life, you know? How do we get past the fact that we can no longer see the vision for our future, for ourselves, for our lives, right? And I was asking God that this morning. You know, being a transformational spiritual life coach, a lot of times that's the first thing people say to me is that they really don't have that vision in their life anymore. They don't have that spark that makes them passionate about something. That why. Why do I get up in the morning? Why do I get up and do what I do? The joy has gone, and they don't even know what brings them joy. So I kind of wanted us to think about that today. You know, where are you in that process? And how can you just the dreams off and bring them back and take the dreams out the attic and really get out the rat race of life, you know what I'm saying? And so I was thinking about that, and this is what came up. Joe Dispenza came up, and I thought, wow, it goes back to the same thing, managing the emotion, that heaviness. And so when I thought about how can we really be committed to moving past that heaviness, the part of us that has forgotten that we had a dream. He said we can choose in pain or we can choose in joy and inspiration. Now, I know that each one of us pretty much don't desire to keep learning in pain. I know we don't desire to keep learning in suffering. So the question is, why do we keep choosing? And it's probably more of a rhetorical question, because you probably don't even know, right? Why do we keep choosing to live? And the only thing that really keeps coming up is that resistant part of us. What's coming up for you? What kind of thoughts do you have? What do you have any thoughts about what you heard, Joe? His name is Joe Dispenza. The choices we all have to change. Anybody have anything they want to share before we move on? Because I was thinking about this morning. Change. What's inevitable? Change. And everybody says you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and all that stuff. But really, how do you get to that point? And so I thought about it and I thought about it and I thought about it. And what came up to me is joy, happiness. And I started really thinking about how can we bring that joy back, that happiness, that place that really shifts the consciousness. How do we make that shift? How can we really get into a place of really making that shift, right? And I thought about the heart. I started thinking about our heart. I was listening to somebody else, and I think it was Annie Majorney. She was saying that our heart chakra never really shuts down. It just gets muddled and we don't move past. And she said all our chakras are always open. So I was thinking about the heart chakra this morning. And I was just thinking about limiting beliefs. Because really in the scheme of things, thoughts, beliefs, mindsets, actions, thoughts, beliefs, mindsets. So I started to think about if we really want more something different to happen in our life, we have to start to be more aware of how our thoughts and beliefs impact our choice and our actions. And people think one little tiny thought really doesn't make that much of a difference, but guess what? It really does. Because you decide how you think and what becomes a can or cannot. According to research, our brain can produce upwards of 50,000 thoughts a day. Can you believe that? Can produce upwards of 50,000 thoughts a day. 99% of these thoughts are repeated daily. Now, if we're thinking 50 thoughts on an average, 50,000 thoughts a day, that's a lot of thoughts. And if we're repeating the same thoughts day in and day out, then we have to ask ourselves, this is why I'm creating the same life over and over again every day. Why I find myself in the same situation over and over again every day. Your thoughts become your belief, which in turn becomes your mindset. Depending on what you believe is possible, you will or won't take certain actions, which then leads to specific results. If you think you have no future, guess what? You will continue to live the same life over and over again. Your thoughts become your beliefs. Research has shown us that there's 50,000 thoughts a day, and 99% of those thoughts are repeated. So that means 49,999 are same thoughts that we think every day. So for those who want a different result, then we need to start to become aware of how our thoughts and beliefs impact our choices and our actions. When you have a positive belief, a belief that helps you move towards your potential versus a limiting belief, a belief that moves you away from your potential. A limiting belief is a belief that moves you away from your potential. Your positive beliefs can alter the direction of your life. Sometimes it's a small curve and other times it's a major rerouting. Please know that we all have limiting beliefs, and you are not alone on this. The only difference is that some people are better at identifying them and rewording them and rerouting them.
Your individual beliefs are similar to chapters in a book. When you put them all together, you have the belief system that becomes your story. The more you repeat your story, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more you become it. Remember, the story we tell ourselves is the story we live. Therefore, one seemingly insignificant belief repeated over and over and over can be a catalyst for all you create in your life, or you don't. Let's talk about a few limiting beliefs. Maybe we'll talk about some in relationships, some in our health, some in our business, some in our many different things. Relationships, let's start there. The only way I can be happy if I'm in a relationship. What? Relationships are not my thing. I'm not worthy of having a partner. I don't like being vulnerable. It makes me uncomfortable to ask for something. How about I cannot work out in the morning? I'm not that good at staying on track. Working out is too hard for me. I'll never be able to get in shape given all my commitments. I don't have time. I'll be successful if I make over a certain amount of money or fill in the blank. I'll be happy when I change jobs. I'm not good at marketing. It's hard to find a job with a boss who is a good manager. I'm too old for this. I'm not the creative one. Being a manager is not for me. I'm not good at this. I'm not worthy. And the list can go on and on for all of us. What's interesting is we have different beliefs in different areas of our life, meaning we can have a positive belief in our career. Give me any problem and I can figure it out. And then completely a limiting belief about our relationships. You see, I'm not good with relationships. But you just said in your career that you can figure out solutions. So let's talk about some ways to shift these limiting beliefs. First thing I want to say is that we have to become aware of those thoughts. And I give all kudos to the Love Journey because it's shifted my consciousness a lot. And I thought when I started this Love Journey that I had the goods on God and I thought I was maybe in a place of ego. But really what I've learned over the years of facilitating is that I wasn't even scratching the surface on the presence and the power of that exists within us as us all around us. And more importantly, what I learned is my consciousness, being aware of the things that I was saying to myself, because it's in my silent thoughts that I create. You see, every cell in my body hears. The universe hears my silent thoughts. And so I remember giving an assignment, having a little book, asking each person to monitor their thoughts. And every time they had a negative thought, to make a check in that book. And so I decided, you know, if I'm going to give the exercise, I must do it. I even do that in my coaching practice. Whatever exercises I give to my clients, I always ask those exercises to my clients. I do them myself as well because you only meet yourself. I meet myself in my clients. I meet myself each day. And if I have something that needs to be cleared up in my client, then something must need to be cleared up in me as well, right? So I do the work too. So I'm doing this work thinking, oh, I'm one of the most positive people I thought. Well, interesting enough, the words that came out of my mouth for other people was positive. But the critic that was critical in her mind about herself, wow, the song I sang, I could have won a platinum award for, but it wasn't for being positive to myself.
It was all the times I said to myself the things that were not empowering. And I couldn't believe the check marks that was in there. Did you just say that to yourself, Janine? Was that really honoring? I had to check myself. And still, what? I tell you, from that exercise, it has made me better, but I'm not where I want to be. And so what I did, once I got to the point where I was watching what I was saying to myself, I took 5 minutes and I wrote down at least three of those limiting beliefs that I was saying, or limiting thoughts that I was saying to myself. I had to really be conscious of my emotions. Because remember, it's not just what you say to yourself, but it's the feelings that you react. Because remember now, vibrations, feelings is the language of the body. Vibrations is the language of the universe. Thoughts is the language of the mind, right? And our thoughts, we think in pictures. So when you think about if feelings get the blessing, and we have about 50,000 thoughts a day now, and 99% of them are repeated, and a good majority of them are limiting, what are we invitationally inviting to the universe to bring into our experience? What are we inviting energetically to the universe to bring to our experience? When we look at our feelings, if feelings get the blessing, feelings is what brings in the manifestation. It's the feelings that cause us to manifest. And if I'm constantly feeling not good enough, can you imagine what I'm always experiencing? Not enough of everything in my life, because how we do anything is not how we do everything. So I'm not experiencing enough money, enough love, enough of whatever, because I don't feel enough energetically. Pretty much, when I looked at it, no matter how much I made, I wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. I don't care if I made $100,000, if I made $40,000. Something came up. So I had to start working with that one thing right there. I had to work with that right there. And no matter how we move through life, and then it's interesting. This is what's interesting, is how it's reflected in our relationships. I had a girl call me yesterday from California, and she was upset and going through a process in her relationship. And she said, you've been knowing me for a little while. You've seen me in multiple relationships, and blah, blah, blah. So tell me what I need to do to fix myself. And what do I bring in each relationship? So I was made a joke. I said, girl, you just want me to tell you something, then we're going to stop being friends. When I said, she said, no, no, no. I trust you to tell me all these things about me that's terrible. And no, she didn't say terrible. This is my assessment, because in essence, what she wanted me to tell her is what was wrong with her, opposed to her really looking at the things that made her great. She felt that every relationship she brought in something that was wrong. And I said, well, why do we have to look at what's wrong? Why can't we look at what is it that you need to learn to help grow and expand who you are? Come to learn that it's all good, but it's about being in balance. I think everything that makes us who we are is exactly who we should be, in balance. So we can go over all the things that you did in each relationship, but is it really going to change how you and your relationship work? I said, because more importantly, it's about the energy. So what if you became all everything that you wanted to become? Okay, more patient, more accepting, and all these wonderful characteristics that we could throw out. But what if you really looked in your heart? What's in your heart? So I can say all these nice things and be all these wonderful things to you, but if my heart is still holding on to resentment, even though I'm saying nice things to you, and even though I'm doing nice things to you, you're going to energetically pick up what I'm feeling more than what I'm saying. Even though the words I'm saying out my mouth are flowery and nice, you're going to be more, pick up my energy. So, of course, she didn't call me back because that didn't make sense to her. And I'm sure she would call somebody else to help find what was wrong with her, because we always want to find out what's wrong with us. And I started thinking, why do we always want to work from a place of what's wrong with us? Even when we take a vase and there's many broken pieces and we glue it back together, we see it in its wholeness to put it back together. We don't start from the brokenness and say what's wrong with it. We look and see, oh, this is what it looks like in this wholeness. And we glue all the pieces back together in this wholeness. If we focus in on what's wrong with us, because energy, somebody know, goes where we focus. So wherever we focus in, that's where the energy flows. So if you're focusing on what's wrong with you, you're going to continue to show up with something that's wrong with you. And so I want us to think about the wholeness of us. What if I told you you were never broken? What if I told you you were born good enough the day you was born? You know, only thing we had to do was remove the veil and the conditioning that told us we were broken, or told us we weren't good enough, or told us something about whatever that creates these limiting beliefs. What if it was just about removing and releasing those thoughts, and not that you were ever broken, and not that you were never good enough, or any of those things that constantly we want to focus in and makes us wrong? So I want you to think about that. Take 5 minutes and write down those areas in your life. And does these beliefs add or distract from achieving your goals, exploring your potential, enhancing the quality of your life? And please be honest. These beliefs that you wrote down, the first step is to write it down, become aware. Are these beliefs adding or distracting? This is the second thing for you to do. Achieving your goals, exploring your potential, and enhancing the quality of your life. Does this belief system support and align with your core values? So if your health and family are core values, does your belief that working out is too hard for you honor your values? Family is a value that you honor? Are you and everybody around you honoring what it means to create family and legacy? And are you creating those borders around that? And I want you to think about this. Fast forward 3 years and ask yourself, if you keep honoring this particular belief, what will it cost you? For example, how will your belief that you're not good at marketing impact your business long term? If you have a belief that you're not good enough or you can't sell, how is it going to work in your business long term? And then rewrite those beliefs as one that brings you towards your potential. To grow my business, I will find the right people to help me be successful in this area. I've overcome other challenges and I can do this as well. Now, of course, you need to take small steps each week to make this happen and keep yourself accountable. And remember, small steps, inch by inch, life percent.
Based on our beliefs, we can take certain actions. If you don't think you're a good public speaker, you're probably, you probably would not apply for your dream job if it involves any speaking requirements. And it's true. Do you know, it took me these many years to get a degree because I thought I wasn't good at writing. I didn't want to write papers, and I didn't think I was that good at writing. So because I knew you had to do papers in school, I wouldn't go to school. I wouldn't. That's the only thing that really kept me from earning a degree. It's a true story. When I first went to junior college, when I first got out of high school back in when I was 18, 19, I dropped every English class that had anything to do with writing because I didn't want to write. And I didn't think I was a good writer. And I definitely would not take anything that had anything to do with public speaking. Yep. I dropped it. I wouldn't go to Toastmasters when I was young because I didn't want to write a speech. And I didn't want to stand in front of people and speak because I didn't think I was a good speaker. I didn't think I was a good writer. And so those things kept me out of where I was supposed to be, which is where my purpose is today. You see, in the long run, I was running from myself. Thing that I learned on this learning journey more than anything I've learned is the real journey is for us to believe in ourselves, is to master ourselves, to discover ourselves, and then we discover God. You see, I thought I knew God when I got on this line, but I didn't. Because you can't know God and not know yourself. And you cannot not know yourself and not know God. Because when one discovers oneself, one discovers God. When Prince said that to me, I know he went over everybody's head, and it wasn't for me, it was for the listening audience, but I took that thing to heart in the church, sanctified church. Even having an inkling or idea that I was synonymous with God was blasphemous. And it took a long time, even being on this love journey, to own that right there. Own my greatness and believe truly in myself. And I'm still working on that now. So that's the way that you really manage your emotions. The only thing that I'm going to tell you this, my grandmother said it best, and I say this over and over again, there's nothing more we can do but to love ourselves. The only journey on this love journey, on this journey of love and life, is to love ourselves, is to fall deeply in love with ourselves. That's why I love the book, Dying to Be Me. She had to die, have a near-death experience, experience the universe, experience God, to find out that life was really just about loving herself. And that God wasn't a being, but that it was a state of being. That means that we're being God, that it's about being God. It's not about the food. It's not about the nothing else on this planet. It's about us loving deeply the presence of who we are. That sounds simplistic, but it's one of the most complex things to do on the planet scene. And that's what this is all about. And so as I move through this journey and become more and more present with who and what I've been given to be on this planet, it just all comes back to the same old thing. We got to get this emotional process to get congruent with who we are. That's why I love what I saw on Facebook. Love yourself until every cell gets into agreement. I really didn't understand the depth of that until more recently. But when we fall in love with ourselves to the depth that every cell in our body is in agreement, our emotional feeling nature is one with who we are. And I believe love is like a cleanser. Love cleanses
the cells. Love cleanses the emotion. Love cleanses out the behavior and the pattern and the thoughts that we've been given to hold on to that's not true about ourselves anymore. So when people call me and ask me, I don't know why people want to call me and ask me what's wrong with them and what they can do better about themselves, when really there's nothing wrong with us. It's just that we have to see that there's nothing wrong with us. We have to come into agreement with loving ourselves, because the more critical we are, the more critical we are to others. You're not going to be critical to somebody else if you're not critical to yourself, because the way we treat others is pretty much how we treat ourselves. And the way others treat us is pretty much how we treat ourselves too. And I'm not talking about the way you may physically treat somebody. I'm talking about them secret thoughts that you have in your mind about people. I'm talking about those secret judgments and criticisms that you have when you're looking out your eye. That's what I'm talking about. You may be treating somebody nice, but you may be secretly judging and having very condemning thoughts about them. That's something to think about. And people, think about it. If you're thinking those thoughts about them, you're thinking those pretty much same thoughts about yourself, because you only can judge others in the way that you judge you. I don't understand why I keep reflecting and creating this in my life. But think, it's your secret thoughts. It's the secret thoughts. It's the secret thoughts. And when I mean secret, I mean the thoughts that nobody else knows that you're thinking but you. Sometimes you don't even know that you're thinking them, because you're so conditioned to think them that you don't even realize that you're even thinking them. And then the emotional response. Are you really happy when you see your girlfriend get that new Maserati that you wanted? Can you really be happy for her? Or are you saying, oh, yeah, she did blah, 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 blah? Can you really be happy when you see a guy that you used to date with somebody else and happy? Or are you like, he ain't blah, 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 blah? You know, it's the secret thoughts, family. And that's what we got to be conscious of. You see, I've kind of realized life is not about managing the physical process. It's about managing these emotional emotions, this emotional body. It's about managing the parts that we can't see. Because everything physical comes from everything that was non-physical. Everything that's visible comes from the invisible. I hear people tell me all the time, yeah, I love myself. I love myself. But yet, I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she was telling me how much she loved herself. But yet, you in this process that you feel uncomfortable with, that's not honoring to you, but you say you love yourself. And it's okay if you say, I'm learning to love myself. I got some more stuff to do. But how you going to admittedly 100% say you love yourself, but yet you're not honoring yourself in this particular relationship? Even me, I feel like I'm still learning, because I still see places where I need to be more honoring to myself. And I think I'm the queen of love. You know, like Aretha is the queen of soul, I'm the queen of love. Oh, y'all know I'm crazy. But that's my message today. I was having all these random thoughts, and I just wanted to share them with you, and I just hope that you could get something out this message today to really realize that we get to choose how to learn, how to change. We can choose in suffering and pain, or we could choose in joy and inspiration. That's what Joe Dispenza said when we were speaking earlier. How are you going to choose to change today? How will you choose to change?
any questions, comments, concerns, any thought processes, press 1 on Blog Talk Radio and star 6 on teleconference. All right, well, those are my random thoughts for today. Maybe I was all over the place, huh? That's what happens when you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking. All right, I just want to remind each and every one of you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. And I want to remind you to choose love. Love is a choice. And I want to remind you that not just dream your God-sized dream, but to live with family. Have an amazing day and know that you are already all you need. This is Mason.